Welcome to A Tip for Tomorrow, a companion to both the Two Writing Teachers blog and the Two Writing Teachers podcast. We share one tip that you can try out in your writing workshop as soon as tomorrow. I'm Stacey Schubitz, and I'm hosting today's Tip for Tomorrow. Busy work weeks? Not enough time for grocery shopping? Marley Spoon has the solution. Get chef-designed recipes and fresh pre-portioned ingredients delivered to your doorstep. Accommodating dietary needs is a priority with options like vegetarian, low-carb, dairy-free, and gluten-free. Say goodbye to grocery shopping stress and focus on teaching and great food. Follow the link in the show notes to get $235 off through 5 delivery boxes. This makes your first box portion price as low as $4.99. Marley Spoon, convenience, taste, and dietary flexibility for busy educators. A couple weeks ago, I was attempting to clean out some boxes that have been packed in our basement since we moved here almost 5 years ago. I found a box labeled Teacher Research and decided it was worth my time. While some of it contained action research and student work samples, there were some gems that had been misplaced in that box. For instance, I found an envelope containing the ship manifest from the boat my grandfather took to this country in the early 1920s, citizenship papers, and my grandparents' marriage license. I wondered what else could be in there, so I slowed my search and combed through the box's contents with great intention. I found a stack of letters held together by a binder clip. The date indicated that they were written to me right before I became a consultant. As I shuffled through the papers, I discovered my former fourth grade student's end-of-year letters to me. Wow! Before I share some of what I discovered, let me explain what end-of-year letters are so you can listen with that lens. End-of-year reflections are nothing new. Where did they originate? Part of me thinks it was with responsive classrooms since I began having my students complete them after I finished my responsive classroom training. However, another part of me thinks that I picked up the idea somewhere in my travels. Maybe those notes are in the basement too. Who knows? These end-of-year letters are different than a year-end self-evaluation and writing workshop. These letters are a way to use writing so students can reflect on the school year to see how far they had come as both learners and people. Some of my former students needed guides to help them with the content of their letters. Here is what I shared with them with a bold-faced instruction that said, "Your paragraphs do not need to follow this exact structure. It is merely a guideline to help you if you are stuck." Paragraph 1. What's your greatest accomplishment since March? Tell me why you're proud of yourself for this accomplishment. Paragraph 2. Now that we're in June, reflect on what's easy for you that was challenging for you in September. Please elaborate on what made this particular item or area simpler as time passed. Paragraph 3. What's still challenging for you? Tell me what you'll do to overcome this challenge. Paragraph 4. What was the best part of being a student in this class? What was the worst part? Please elaborate on both responses. Paragraph 5. Have you accomplished your hopes and dreams this year? If not, then tell me what stood in your way. If you accomplished them, then have you set new goals for yourself? Paragraph 6. What have you learned about cooperative group work and partnerships by being in this class? Paragraph 7. What advice can you give me as a teacher? Paragraph 8. Anything else you want to tell me? I asked students to follow a friendly letter format and requested that they skip lines if their handwriting was challenging to read. Before I share more, I want to just say that it's important to keep students' accommodations in mind when asking them to write a letter like this. For instance, some children will need more time than others to work on this. Provide them with the extra time so they don't feel rushed. Also, students who wish to use guidelines similar to what I shared should have other ways of composing a friendly letter than just putting it on paper. A handwritten letter on loose leaf paper works for many kids, but some students struggle with the physical act of writing. They might benefit from using digital tools to create a slideshow, a video, or audio recordings. The final product can vary, so every child will feel successful when reflecting on how they've grown. With these things in mind, here are some excerpts from the letters I found so you can have an idea of students' responses. When asked what was the greatest accomplishment from March to June, one student said, "I've learned that having self-control is important. It's the way to be. I'm loving the way I can focus when I don't get distracted. I feel proud of myself and can accomplish anything if I have self-control. I feel wonderful I can do this now." This made me tear up because this was a student who had dealt with a significant amount of trauma in the first 9 years of their life. This child had many meltdowns in the beginning of the year. I remember chasing after them down 3 flights of stairs since I was convinced that they were going to leave the building after arguing with one of their related arts teachers. Rereading this student's words, which reflected their pride in the way that they had learned to manage their strong emotions by the end of the year, made me realize how important it was for this child to reflect and realize how much they'd grown in a short amount of time. Moving forward to the best and worst part of the class. Here's what some kids said. "The best part about being a student in this class is that you're a nice teacher. Have a nice classroom. The other best part is that we have fun in the classroom, but there's no chaos. The other best part about being in this class is that you are not an overly strict teacher." Okay, cool. Thanks. Next one. "The best part of being a student in this class is that we have fun while we work. It isn't boring. I don't hate anything about this classroom, but sometimes you make us do boring things, but you always put soft music on and that makes the boring things more fun." Next, "The best thing about being in your class is learning. You make sure that we understand every little bit and it gives me confidence." Moving on. The following are 3 of the many beautiful responses students had about what they had learned about working with others. One student said, "I've learned that you have to listen to everyone's ideas before you choose one. Another thing I learned is that one person cannot be the one doing everything. Teams have to work together on everything." Next, "I've learned that you have to be respectful, give eye contact, and treat other people the way you want to be treated." Another student said, "I've learned that it's really fun being in groups like reading and writing clubs because you can learn about new things. Also, you get to hear what other people think and grow new thoughts of your own. Also, being in reading and writing clubs has taught me to let other people say what they think. I don't have to be the only person speaking." And finally, "I've learned that everyone in a group has something smart to say, but they don't always say it because other people don't let them. I think this because sometimes I've been too busy sharing my own thoughts and I haven't let other people talk. Now I know I can turn to someone else and say, 'Hey, why don't you have a turn?'" I asked kids for advice to help me as a teacher. Most kids didn't give me much to improve on, which was flattering, but probably untrue. Other than advising me to keep more lead refills around the classroom for their mechanical pencils and to buy stronger bookshelves. However, one student wrote this: "I have some advice for you. You should have a place to put your reading glasses. I mean, remember the last time you lost them? It was a scavenger hunt to look for your glasses. Put your reading glasses in one consistent place, and I think it'll make your life easier." Reading this made me roar, since I still, to this day, cannot find my reading glasses on a very frequent basis. Perhaps I need to take this sage advice given by a 10-year-old and work on this now. I don't want this tip for tomorrow to go too long, so I'm going to leave it there. I think you get the idea. Yes, these are sweet letters to receive, but more so, they're powerful tools for student reflection. Sometimes it's hard for people to realize how much they've grown when they're going through the day-to-day slog of life. Having an opportunity to step back allows students to reflect on how they've grown as learners, how their thinking has changed, and make future plans. Please drop me a line at contact@twowritingteachers.org if you try this out with your students this spring. I would love to know how it goes. Thank you for listening to the Two Writing Teachers podcast. Check out the show notes for links to the items we mentioned in this episode, as well as ways to connect with us. For more about the teaching of writing, head over to the Two Writing Teachers blog at twowritingteachers.org. If you liked what you heard today, please share it with your friends and colleagues, post about it on social media, like, subscribe, and leave us ratings and reviews. Our music is by Lemon Music Studio. If you'd like to connect with us, email us at contact@twowritingteachers.org. Thanks again for listening. Let's teach, learn, and write on together.